I want to start this video off by saying that everyone is entitled to have an opinion. Hello everyone, welcome to Mind Blowing, Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet, I'm a psychologist, and I make these videos because I think when we have good information, we make better decisions, and when we make better decisions, we enjoy our lives more, we're healthier, and we just do the things that are going to help us to improve on a regular basis. And today's video is actually a reaction to a video that I saw by a very famous trainer, actually. You might know her from The Biggest Loser. She's had many, many workout videos that she's put out, and I'm sure she's involved in other things. But I recently saw a video that she released about the ketogenic diet. So she was a guest, I guess, presenter on another channel. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I feel like there's a lot of things that she said in the video that caused me to pause. As I said, everyone's allowed to have an opinion. The first issue that I have with the video that I watched recently from Jillian Michaels, that's what I'm talking about, is that Jillian presented a theory that people are very enthusiastic about the ketogenic diet because there's one or two studies that have shown that it has some efficacy and that we're blowing it out of proportion. Yet, in everything that she said about why the ketogenic diet was a poor diet, she doesn't actually give you any facts to back up what she's saying. So basically what she's saying is that research isn't a good enough reason to look at a diet and try to see if it might work for you, but her opinion is a better reason to look at a diet and see if it will work for you. And right away that causes me to question everything else she says in the video, and that's the first, you know, few lines of what she's saying. Now, she says that ketosis is a state of emergency in the body. And that's just blatantly not true. Whenever we don't eat carbohydrates, our body will use the fat that's on board, which is turning it into ketones for usage. Our body does that naturally. It's a part of the way that our bodies function. But to take this a step further, even when we do ingest carbohydrates, our body still uses some level of ketones, depending on how long it is between meals, there's a lot of different factors. So our body is always using both carbohydrates and ketones to fuel itself. This always happens. Again, in the first few sentences that she's saying, she's giving us misinformation. She doesn't touch on why our bodies seem to prefer carbohydrates. The truth is, our bodies don't prefer carbohydrates. We don't really understand how intelligent our bodies actually are. What our body does is it eliminates danger before it will do normal processing. So, for example, if you drink alcohol and eat, your body will process the alcohol before it processes the food. The exact same thing is happening here. If you eat protein, fats, and carbs, your body processes the carbs first because they are a toxin. You can only have 5 grams approximately of carbohydrates in your system at any particular point in time. So therefore, it's really important for your body to make sure that it keeps the carbohydrate number where it's supposed to be for you. And that means processing carbs first, followed by processing anything else that's healthy in your body. That means that then it will process the fats and it will process the proteins and all the micronutrients that you've ingested. She proposes that we should all eat a well-balanced diet, and I don't think anyone's gonna disagree with that. The question that I have for you is, what is considered well-balanced? When you listen to what she's saying, although she doesn't actually say that she wants you to follow the standard American diet, everything that she says points towards the standard American diet. Then she says that the only way for you to have a balanced diet is for you to have the high carbs. That assumes that carbohydrates are necessary. Many doctors have pointed out that carbohydrates are not necessary because our bodies can create carbohydrates. So if our system needs carbs, we'll just make them. So since that's a fact, then it's not necessary to have carbs ingested, which then means that they are not necessary for a well-balanced diet. She also talks about inflammation and that the ketogenic diet is inflammatory. Again, presenting misinformation. What we know, and this is backed up by the science, is that carbohydrates cause inflammation. What we know, this is also backed up by the science, is poor quality fats cause inflammation. Well, if we follow what she's saying is that we should be having a large portion of our diet coming from carbohydrates. If we use the standard American diet as the example, they suggest that 45 to 55% of our calories should come from carbohydrates. Well, in that case, you're having somewhere between 35 and 50 grams of carbs in your day. That's more than 7 times the amount on the low end of carbohydrates that your body can manage at any particular point in time. And she's suggesting that we do that to ourselves daily. So that's the first issue that I have there. But the other thing to keep in mind is that if the standard American diet is saying that 45-ish percent of your calories should be coming from carbohydrates, what they're suggesting is that it would be fine for us to sit down and eat 35 teaspoons of sugar if we didn't have any other carbs today. That would be fine. Well, what adult would ever do? What adult would think that that would be an okay thing to do? So in actuality, the idea that we would allow ourselves to have 35 teaspoons of sugar, maybe even all the way up to 50 or 60 teaspoons of sugar in one day, I think every adult would say that's ridiculous. But we would do it through grains, we would do it through vegetables and fruits, and we would do it through potatoes, and we would do it through pasta. If it's ridiculous to do it by the teaspoonful, why is it okay to do it through food, through juice, through soda? Soda is not healthy, but on the standard American diet, it's okay to drink. Now, the other thing that she proposes is that 20 grams of carbs is nothing. And so therefore, we are depriving ourselves of nutrients first. When we ingest carbohydrates, so straight carbohydrates, the only thing we're getting there is energy. So I'm not depriving myself of nutrients if I ingest straight carbohydrates. If I take a teaspoon of sugar, I'm gonna get energy. I'm not getting anything else. Okay, fine. But the idea that if I ingested 20 grams of carbs, that I ingested nothing, I point you back to the fact that our body can only manage 5 grams of carbs at any particular point in time. So in our system, we should have 5 grams. So if I'm ingesting 4 times the amount that my body can manage, what that really means is that every time I'm ingesting sugar, my body has to do something with it because I walk around with the right amount in me already. I'm set. So I need to replace as I use, obviously, but do I need to replace it 4 times? Am I using it that quickly? These are the questions, right, that we need to have answered. And the idea that our body's replacing at the rate of 35 times, not likely. Just to finish up on this idea that having low carb is so particularly dangerous, there are a lot of people that do a carnivore diet, which is zero carb, and report doing very well. Now, again, more research needs to be done, but if it was so particularly dangerous to have zero carb, how are the people doing a carnivore diet doing well? How are they able to be at the gym and working out? How are they able to be healthy and focused in their day? Again, there's too much misinformation in this video for us to try to apply it the way that it was presented. When we watched The Biggest Loser, one of the things that was very obvious is that people were being encouraged to exercise very rigorously for the purpose of helping them to burn fat. So if exercising rigorously allows us to tap into burning fat, well, our body is the same body, which means that by burning fat, that means I'm producing ketones and I'm putting my... So wouldn't that mean exercise is putting our body in a state of emergency, according to Ms. Michaels? When you really stop and listen to what's being said in this video, you hear that it's a lot of what seems like keto bashing without any real understanding of how the body works and how keto works. And so a process that's very natural for us to do, she's saying we're only allowed to do it, or at least she's implying that we're only allowed to do it if we do it through exercise. But heaven forbid that we do it through food. Now we've created a detrimental problem in our system. Using fat to fuel your body is not a negative thing. It's a very positive thing because we have so much on board anyway. The typical person has between 1,500 and 2,000 calories worth of glycogen on their system, on their body, that they can use to do things, and it's no problem. And by the way, 1,500 to 2,000 calories is what we would normally ingest in a day. We eat that much. So I have one day's worth of calories on me when I think about glycogen versus the hundreds of days worth of energy that I have on myself when you look at it in terms of fat storage. On some level, you need to ask yourself, if I'm trying to lose weight, does it make sense for me to keep burning and replacing the glycogen? Or would it make more sense for me to allow my body to burn the fat stores that I have on myself and actually allow myself not to replace them very quickly? That's what a ketogenic diet allows you to do. It allows you to burn the energy that you've been storing and don't replace it too fast, right? So again, we need to be careful that we actually understand how the body works when we're trying to help other people understand how the body works so that they can do what's going to be healthier for them. Now, she mentions that if I don't eat carbs, my insulin is going to fall through the floor. Well, that's not actually true. First of all, our bodies constantly produce insulin because insulin is not only used to metabolize carbohydrates. You need insulin when you're metabolizing anything that you've eaten. So that means the fats and that means the proteins are also helping us to produce insulin. So increase the amount of insulin that's there because we always have some level of insulin in our system. It rises and falls depending on what we've eaten. So another piece of misinformation, which is that our insulin will fall to the floor. No, we always have insulin in our system. How much insulin and how effective the insulin is affecting us. So how well does my insulin help me to store what I need to store? So how sensitive am I to insulin? That changes dependent on how much carbohydrates you allow in your system or not. So this is another place where she made a mistake, because it's excessive carbohydrates that cause us to become insulin resistant. And the best way to solve that issue is not exercise. It's by diminishing the amount of carbohydrates you're intaking that your body can readjust and get back into sync with using the insulin to store the carbohydrates as it's supposed to when there's excess. It's absolutely frustrating that there's so many people today walking around with diabetes, PCOS, Alzheimer's, so many metabolic issues that we now believe have been brought forward because of too much carbohydrate consumption. That's frustrating. And of course, anything that we can do to help people reverse diabetes, help people reverse PCOS or any other metabolic issues that they have should be encouraged. And if Ms. Michaels was successful at reducing these conditions with exercise and the standard American diet, amazing, and that's great, and she should keep doing it. The problem that I have is when she's saying to people who have not had success with the standard American diet that the ketogenic diet is not an option, then I feel like she's making a mistake. If the ketogenic diet is an option for me, for whatever reason, maybe I'm not able to maintain myself on the standard American diet, but I'm able to maintain myself on the ketogenic diet. If it's an option for me, then I should be allowed. So I should have the option, right? To use this diet. And when you have people in positions of power, and if I'm a world famous trainer, I am in a position of power, telling people who might not totally understand the difference between all these diets, that this one's going to be harmful to your health, then I'm putting people in a position that they might not even try a diet that could solve their metabolic issues because this professional is telling me that this is the wrong thing to do, when this professional is not actually presenting any evidence that shows that it's the wrong thing to do. I'm all up for conversation, but let's bring some things to back it up. From a psychological point of view, there are a lot of people who have issues with food. There are a lot of people who have a difficult time limiting the amount of food that they eat. It's really important for us to recognize that when we're talking about diets, diets give us a general parameter of what we are ingesting. They don't tell us how much specifically to ingest. From one day to the next, we do not eat always the same amount of food. Even people who track from one day to the next do not eat the same amount of food. Now, some people track and they try to limit what they're eating. Other people track For example, if you're doing a ketogenic style diet, you're limiting the amount of carbohydrates that you're eating. You're not limiting necessarily, purposefully, the amount of food that you're eating. However, to say that a ketogenic diet is a diet with no limits is misleading, because when you are being informed on how to do a ketogenic diet, every doctor that I've ever heard talk about the ketogenic diet says a very important piece of information, which is you eat until you're satiated, not full. Satiated means you eat until you're no longer hungry. You don't eat until you're full. So actually, if you think about it, a ketogenic diet is not only trying to help you to eat the right kind of foods, it's also trying to help you to get back in touch with your body and understand when you've had enough. Because if I eat until I'm no longer hungry, but I wasn't used to doing that before, then what's gonna happen in the beginning is that I'm gonna eat until I'm full, and I'll see how much food I ate, but I'll feel full, knowing that I was supposed to stop when I wasn't full, when I wasn't hungry anymore. And over time, if I'm actually trying to do what I've been explained to do, over time I will eat much less because, well, how much less, I'm not sure, but I will eat less because I will eat until I'm satiated. Now, here's the other piece of information. If I'm eating healthy vegetables, if I'm eating healthy proteins and fats and nuts and healthy cheeses and the things that I'm allowed to eat that are on within the ketogenic way of eating, first of all, the volume that I will be eating in vegetables, because that's where my carbs are coming from, and the fats and proteins that I'm eating are going to help me to be full. The other thing that Ms. Michaels misinformed us about is that it's not unlimited fat, it's not unlimited protein, it's not a high protein diet. The ketogenic diet pivots on energy source, not on protein. Your protein remains the same. Whatever you were eating, whatever was healthy for you to eat, I should say, on the standard American diet. So if you were trying to be healthy on standard American diet, the consensus is that most people will need around 0.8 grams of protein related to their body weight. Well, if you still will be doing the same thing on the ketogenic diet, your lean body weight. So what that would actually mean is that my protein should stay the same. What I'm trying to do is, rather than ingest carbohydrates from my fuel source, I'm ingesting fats from my fuel source. So that's where the pivot happens. But here's the interesting thing. In order for me to feel satiated from eating protein and fat, so I'm eating the fat that comes along with the protein, it doesn't take as much of that as it does for carbohydrates. Any person who's ever actually paid attention to the way that people eat when they do eat, allow themselves to eat carbohydrates, how many slices of bread are you able to eat? How much rice are you able to eat? How much pasta, compared to how hard is it to eat like four steaks? Right? It's really hard even to eat more than one. Like, there, we tend to max out at around 6-ish ounces of meat anyway, at least if we're eating until we are full, which is the old style of eating, right? The thing we're trying to correct. So when most people learn to eat till they're satiated, yeah, getting through 4-5 ounces of meat, it becomes an interesting challenge. My point being this: when you learn to eat until you're satiated, so when you focus on that, because it's something that you actually need to learn to focus on, then when you get to a certain point and you stop eating, you're not eating as much as you used to eat. The other issue that I have with the video is that she doesn't even talk about the fact that these carbs that we're eating alongside fat, because we still allow fat in our diet in the standard American diet. So these carbs that we're eating alongside fats actually make us store not only the carbohydrates we're eating, but the fats we're eating. So we are constantly storing more fat on our system, because fats are used in preparing foods. They just are. She talks about the fact that we do not respect food timing when we are eating a ketogenic diet. And it's interesting to me, because on one moment she says we don't respect food timing, and another moment she talks about autophagy. And it was a bit confusing to me what she was trying to say there. I'm going to bring this back together in one comment, which is this. When you eat a ketogenic style diet, the majority of people report that they go from eating every few hours to eating with long periods in between. And some people, like myself, even get to the point where you're eating one meal a day. If I'm doing a carbohydrate-based meal plan, usually that means I'm eating 3 to 6 meals a day. And what we know is that whenever you eat, your insulin rises. Insulin is responsible for diabetes. Insulin is responsible for a lot of metabolic issues. And so eating in a way that causes my insulin to constantly rise is not healthy. Versus eating in a way that allows me to go long periods between meals, healthier. Getting to a point where I'm eating one meal a day, even healthier. Why? Because in those periods where I'm not eating, I'm not rising my insulin. But the other thing that I'm doing is I'm helping my body by allowing autophagy to happen. Because autophagy can only happen when, or I shouldn't say can only happen. Autophagy mainly happens when your body is not processing food. So being able to go through long stretches of time when I'm not processing food allows my body to focus on cell cleanup, which is the other thing that I found very frustrating. Jillian throws words out there like autophagy, ketosis, and she doesn't explain anything. She doesn't actually explain to the audience that ketosis is just the process of our body breaking down fat to use as fuel because it produces ketones, because ketones are the actual units of energy that our body will use to fuel itself. She doesn't explain that autophagy is a process of our body repairing itself, recycling its own materials so that we can reuse them and move forward. She doesn't explain these things. I feel like it's difficult when people, especially when professionals, are explaining to the public, but then they're using professional speak to help, to try to help us to understand, but not telling us what the professional speak means. If you're going to have any chance of applying what I'm telling you, I need you to understand the words that I'm using to tell you. That's what makes this process helpful to you. So what does it mean when I don't do that? I'm trying to confuse you. I'm trying to leave you not sure. And what happens when people are not sure? They get scared. And what happens when we're scared? We don't act. So if I put fear in everyone about the ketogenic diet, then fewer people will approach it because I've made it the scary thing. And it's inappropriate because the ketogenic diet has helped a lot of people, but it's also inappropriate because it's not accurate information. There is information about this diet that you can look up. You don't have to take my word for it. You can go online. You can go to PubMed. You can go to the medical, Dr. Jason Fung talks about the diet. Dr. Wiseman talks about the diet. Westman, sorry. Dr. Berg talks, there's so many doctors talking about the, Dr. Barry talks about this diet. There's so many doctors talking about this diet. There's so much research going into this diet. There's so many books available about this diet. You don't have to take my word for it. Losing weight through the standard American diet is not easy. Losing weight through keto is not easy. There's no diet that you're gonna use to lose weight where the weight loss is easy. It always takes effort, it always takes energy, it takes work from you to lose weight. Maintaining your losses on the standard American diet, most people can't do it. Maintaining your losses on the ketogenic diet, most people do it. So if we're talking about success, if we're talking about setting people up to be able to accomplish their goal and then move forward with their goal and live a happy life, then we have to ask ourselves why we would eliminate a diet where people have success not only losing the weight, but maintaining the weight loss. Near the end of the video, she says that there's so many negatives from the ketogenic diet, but what I find very interesting is that if you really watch the video, she doesn't actually give you any concrete negatives that keto causes this or keto causes that. We know that the majority of people on the standard American diet develop diabetes, we develop metabolic syndromes. We know this, it's been documented. We're right now trying to figure out how do we change this. Again, it's frustrating because she's saying that there's so many negative side effects, but she doesn't list any. So please, if there's so many negative side effects that you know about, list them. That way we can do some research and we can try to make sure that we correct them. And maybe there are things that we need to do better. But again, is it about health? Is it about improving the lives of more people? Or is it about getting them to stop looking at a particular diet? She talks to us about the fact that we need to eat fruit. And I'm just going to be really quick with this one. Fruit has a lot of sugar, has a lot of fructose. Fructose is only digested by our liver. When you put your liver in a situation where it's over functioning to do something, what happens? You get fatty liver. We get it from alcohol. We get it from fructose. This is known information. Again, Jill, like, it's known information. The other thing that I want to say, just on that topic, is that we can get micronutrients, phytonutrients. We can get all those lovely things from vegetables. The ketogenic diet, and especially the majority of proponents of the ketogenic diet that are doctors who understand what our bodies need, encourage people to eat low glycemic vegetables, to eat salad. We're encouraged to do that. So again, I'm not really sure where she's getting this zero carb thing, because it's not a zero carb diet. We're still ingesting four times the amount that our body can manage at any particular point in time. I really do wonder about the motivation that she had for making this video. It makes me just question if there's an ulterior motive here, because she doesn't bring any facts to the table. She doesn't have an example or something specific. She's just giving a lot of information that seems to be cloudy. So it's a question mark in my mind. So what I'm suggesting to everyone is that before you take a decision on whether or not you're going to try the ketogenic diet, do some research. Again, don't take my word for it. Do your research and find out what it is, so that you'll know, will it help you? In today's society, we need to be willing to fight for our own health and wellness. I'm trying to create like some wellness warriors, that we're going to go out there and we're going to be in the doctor's faces. We're going to be in the researcher's faces. We need to do better. We need to be healthier. I want you guys to come with me and become a wellness warrior, and let's try our best to live our happiest life because we're healthy both physically and mentally. To do that, we need to understand why we're doing what we're doing and keep our minds and bodies healthy and safe. I really hope you found this video helpful. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. And you know what? If you don't mind, please take a moment to subscribe. I plan to make more videos like this. This is my first reaction video, and I just hope that it helps somebody to make a better decision.
Decipher the thousands of studies that are out there on all of these diets. And the problem is, what people will do to try to sell you a false bill of goods is take one study and blow that study out as though it's the entire picture, when of course it isn't. Imagine you have a massive painting, but I only showed you this tiny piece of the painting, but you had no idea what the hell else was going on over here. There's no way you could get an accurate read on if this is a sad picture, a happy picture, a danger, like there's no way you could know, correct? So when we look at keto, here's why we're saying, or not me, but here's where some of the advocates are espousing benefits. Well, what are we doing with keto, right? We're removing carbohydrates. Anything that elevates, you've got about 20 grams of carbohydrates a day that you're ingesting, which is essentially nothing. It's about 80 calories worth of carbohydrates out of what could be anywhere from a 1600 to 2500 calorie a day diet. So that's nothing, right? And it throws your body into a state of emergency. That's what ketosis is. And because we don't have any glucose or glycogen, any blood sugar, stored blood sugar, we turn to fat quickly. We produce ketones, and the idea is we burn through fat and we lose fat fast. And that is true, right? And you would think that would be a good thing. And in addition, people will say, well, I reversed my type 2 diabetes. Of course, you know, your insulin level is through the floor. You're consuming zero carbohydrates, so you have no blood sugar, so your pancreas is not releasing insulin. And this can also affect conditions like polycystic ovarian syndrome. And, you know, by virtue of that connection, it could also affect fertility. Fair, let's give it that. But here's what we're not talking about. There's zero calorie restriction on a ketogenic diet. So you have a massive amount of oxidative stress. There's no consideration of timing with regard to food. So your autophagy process is totally out of whack. In addition to that, it's very high in animal fats and animal proteins. So we're seeing that diets rich in saturated fats are poor for our telomeres, oxidative stress, increased inflammation, your nutrient sensing pathways that are related to the health of your metabolism are overrun with constant food, heavy fats, lots of animal protein, and on, we know it hurts your telomeres, and on and on and on. Now, what about the benefits? Is it worth it? Let me tell you, the number one way to sensitize somebody's body again.
Today coming up, how to turn IKEA bookshelf.
I've been doing this a heck of a long time. I've reversed type 2 diabetes. I've helped people get off all medications for type 2 diabetes and PCOS and get pregnant after years of trying and failing through a common sense diet where we don't eat too much. We eat real food and we have balanced macronutrients. So I can give you all those benefits with none of the negative side effects of keto.
Really works.
And last thought on keto, we're stripping our body of certain fruits which have a ton of antioxidants and polyphenols in them. So again, when we look at oxidative stress and free radicals and how they're aging us, we need to look at antioxidant foods that help to combat that. When you start cutting out digestive enzymes in papaya and pineapple and mango and all of the beta carotene, which is one of the top things to help keep your telomeres long, something like keto is detrimental on so many different levels. And the amount of benefit is so small when we can take a completely different path, get all the benefit over here, none of the negatives over here, and all the benefits over there.